Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So did you go to sleep last night thankful for the sound of snow plows clearing the streets out your window? Probably not. According to my next guest, the sanitation workers who run the snow plows and the street sweepers and the garbage trucks that rid the streets of things we don't want, they only get noticed when they're making noise or blocking the road. But anthropologist Robin Nagel does notice the work they do day in and day out and has made them the focus of her study, digging through the archives at the Department of Sanitation and through fieldwork alongside them, driving the trucks and lifting the trash bags. She's the first official anthropologist in residence with the New York City Department of Sanitation. Her day job is as a clinical associate professor of anthropology and urban studies at NYU, and she's now the author of Picking Up on the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York City. Welcome to WNYC, Robin Nagel.
Thank you, Brian.
You make the case, first of all, that a sanitation worker's job is maybe the city's most essential. What's your thinking there? Why compare it in that way to police or firefighters or teachers or anything else?
When you think about the structure of a city the size of New York with the complexity and the density, if we were not able to get the garbage up off the street every day, it would be unimaginably difficult to live here. Police and fire get accolades and praise, as they should. My argument is not that they should have any less of that, but that it would be appropriate to share the love and recognize their brothers and sisters in sanitation as doing work that is not, in my opinion, not just as essential, but more essential. It's primary. You don't have a city if you don't have a solid waste management plan that is effective.
And when Mayor Bloomberg first took office, he said something to the effect that their job is more dangerous than being a firefighter or a police officer. And you remind us that he got in trouble for that remark. But statistically, was he wrong?
He was not wrong. He took a lot of flack for that. It was the Democrats put it on a website called Bloomberg's Bloopers. But he spoke truth. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics, a federal body, does analysis every year, and sanitation work is always in the top 10. Sometimes it's the fourth most dangerous job in the country. Sometimes it's the seventh most dangerous, but it's always in the top 10. Police and fire are not.
And are we measuring that by deaths, by losing limbs? What happens to sanitation workers?
We're measuring that by both on-the-job injuries and on-the-job fatalities. For the number of hours worked, sanitation workers will face a higher risk of bodily harm and death.
You've worked in the department, right? You took the exam. You did truck work and broom work and snow plow work.
I did.
Was that all part of your anthropology?
It was, although I would have stayed. I went in trying to learn as much as possible. But if I had been able to swing it financially, I would have left NYU and stayed with sanitation. The work is always immediately important. And when it's not done, that's a big problem. My work at NYU is important too, but sometimes it's a little tough to see the immediate value of it compared to the immediate daily importance of sanitation.
Are you saying that it was more satisfying an experience on a day-to-day basis to be picking up the garbage than to be studying and teaching anthropology?
I would say that the satisfactions of my job at NYU, which are quite real, were matched by the satisfaction of the job picking up garbage and operating brooms and plowing trucks and getting to know the department from the ground level.
What makes it so fascinating to you?
Well, if you think about an anthropological question of sort of what a cultural measure are we going to look at to figure out who we are or who other people are, both now and across history, one of the few things that really endures is garbage. It's the fodder of anthropology, and I guess also the father of anthropology, sorry for the pun. But in an immediate sense, day to day, you can also read a lot about a particular people by looking at what they get rid of. With the Department of Sanitation, it's not so much for me the garbage itself as it is the organization, the structure, the actual men and women who are on the street every day doing the work. And I was deeply curious, in doing such an important job that is so thoroughly overlooked, how was it for them to wear that responsibility and at the same time wear a kind of invisibility?
Listeners, are you a current sanitation worker or a former sanitation worker? Maybe you're a sanitation worker who went back to college and became an anthropologist. I don't know. Or maybe you're retired from the job. Give us a call. Do you think people need to know more about the work you do to get behind that cloak of invisibility? 212-433-WNYC. A shout-out for sanitation workers or former sanitation workers to call in, or anybody who wants to say anything about sanitation working. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Robin Nagel, the department anthropologist, as well as NYU professor and author now of Picking Up on the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York City. And while some calls are coming in, we noticed that your book includes a glossary entitled How to Speak Sanitation. And folks, we've posted a few of these terms to our website. So if you want to go see this list of glossary words, how to speak sanitation, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And let's do a few for the fun of it and for the edification of it. Mongo. What does the word mongo mean?
Mongo is a noun and a verb. The noun form is treasure that you redeem from, rescue from the trash. To mongo is to engage in that practice. Mongo is a many New Yorkers, especially when they first move here and are not having so many pennies to rub together, will tell stories of furnishing their apartments with many forms of mongo. It's a kind of a noble scavenging tradition that survives.
And is that fair game, kind of dumpster diving as a sanitation worker?
It's against the rules.
It
However,
is.
Yeah, it's technically against the rules, but it's not such a serious infraction of city law that it's pursued with great vigor.
Does it depend what you find? If you find somebody's old lamp and you decide to take it home, that's different than if you find $500 or an iPad?
No. You, if you find it, it's the sort of unofficial practice is that it's fair game. If someone threw it out, then technically it belongs to the city of New York. It is the property of the city of New York, which is why keeping it can be there's a sort of a legal issue around that. But the thought is, since it's been rejected, it's okay if someone else wants to claim it and give it a second life.
So mongo or mungo as a verb or a noun. Another less appetizing term is disco rice.
Maggots. Yes, indeed. And if you've ever had the experience of gazing down at a trash can full of maggots, you know that it's a very descriptive, very accurate description of what you're looking at.
In fact, you say that there are four seasons for the sanitation department: spring, maggots, leaf and night plow. Let me do that again. Spring, maggots, leaf, that's fall.
Correct.
And night plow.
Right. Night plow is winter. The entire department is put on a slightly altered schedule so that if there is an unexpected snowstorm, there are people at the ready in an instant to be out on the streets with the plows and the spreaders.
So spring's about to start, but last night was definitely night plow.
Well, that's one of the beauties of spring. That's why the night plow, the calendar for night plow extends from early November into early April. We're still in night plow, actually.
Let me give you one other glossary term from your list that maybe indicates something about the public attitudes, at least on some occasions, towards sanitation workers. The term is airmail.
Oh, yes, airmail. That's garbage thrown from a window to the street below. It's less common now than it used to be, but in some neighborhoods that was not such an unusual way of getting the garbage to the curb for pickup. Not a very successful method, I would add.
Oh, so that's just getting stuff down there. It's like you see the truck going by and you're like, here, take this.
Yes, basically. And
it's not heckling, harassing, throwing tomatoes at them.
No. It's just getting the garbage to the curb and probably thinking you have better aim than you do, hoping that the bag will land in the back of the truck. But that wasn't how it usually went down.
Right. And it is, just to put a fine point on it, not recommended.
No, not at all.
Ansel,
please don't.
In Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ansel.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. Long time listener to the show.
Thank you.
I'm a retired sanitation worker. I worked for 26 years. And what your guest is saying is so true, how unappreciated they seem to be among in the public eye. But when there is a crisis, you know, then if it snows and the streets are not plowed, you know, that's when you hear about sanitation workers, you know. But I was saying, I was also telling the screener that how the sanitation workers do. Like, it snows and you have 3 feet, 4 feet of snow on the street, and I'm coming out of my house at that time when everybody else would be calling in and, you know, trying to, you know, say, like, this snow, I can't come to work.
Right.
But they are going out to work. I'm stepping out there in 3 feet of snow, trying to get to work so I can clear the snow so the work, all the people who got to get to work behind me could get through. So that's how very, very important they are. And they should be given a little bit more praise as opposed to not getting any at all.
I hear you, Ansel. What do you think the cost was, if there was a cost to you, of being so unrecognized while you were doing that work?
What do I think the cost was?
Yeah, to you. was there any psychological cost or anything else you would put into words?
No. I really don't think so. We were used to that kind of treatment, and we used to know that even the people that are getting the praise, we work along with them, and we work closer with the police and fire department, where we clear away, you know, from where their stations or whatever.
Ansel?
You know, so we'll go ahead and work. So it's equal. We feel just as important or just as good. It's just less recognized.
Right.
By
Robin, Ansel, you have a question for him?
I do. Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
Let me ask you a slightly personal question. What do your kids, when they were young, did they tell their friends what you do for a living, what you did for a living?
Well, yes. My youngest son in particular, yes.
Good.
Yeah, everybody in the school knows what I do.
Some sanitation workers don't want their neighbors to know that they are sanitation workers. And that always is a little, kind of hurts my heart when I hear that. So I'm glad that your kids were proud of you, as they should have been.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I'm trying to get my son to take the test
yes.
for the sanitation, because you know it is a very, very satisfying job. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You can go out there and feel satisfied when you get things done. You know,
Ansel, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service to the people of New York City, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
Robin Nagel, my guest on WNYC, with her book about sanitation workers in New York City called Picking Up on the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York City. And that's another one of your glossary terms, actually, is the phrase picking up. Does it mean more than picking up the garbage?
It's shorthand for the job. If you meet, when you go to gatherings of sanitation people, you will overhear conversations like, so where are you now? Well, I'm picking up NYU, or I'm picking up Park Slope, or I'm picking up Jackson Heights, meaning that that's where they're assigned.
John in Manhattan comments on our webpage, while the job is dangerous, the Department of Sanitation is not trying new methods to retrieve trash. They dismantled the leaf compost program due to some expense rationale. Why don't they invest in new vacuum equipment for this seasonal work in the fall or hire temp workers like they do for shoveling snow? This is a policy question. This is not about appreciating or dissing the workers. So I don't know if it's up your alley or not.
Policy questions per se are not, but I can say that the department is always looking for ways to innovate collection and to make it more efficient and more environmentally sensitive and sustainable. There are new food waste composting programs in the pipeline. Recycling categories are being extended. The job is never static on the street or in the sort of continual brainstorming of how to do it better.
Tom in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Former sanitation man?
That's right. I worked from 81 to 2006 in Manhattan and in Queens.
Wow, you put in 25 years.
Yes, and I had to leave because physically I couldn't do the job anymore. I spent most of the time in the street, and it was time to go.
What are some of your aches and pains that you carry forward now, Tom?
Well, I had herniated discs. I had degenerated discs in my neck and arthritis. There's a lot. There were a lot of other workers that had more problems than I had as well with the moving parts with their arms and their legs. And there was a study done that, I guess, by OSHA, that the movement of the arms and the legs is, can only move so many times before they start to develop problems.
It's always struck me as an irony that the job in this era does have a lot of sophisticated technological assistance, but at root, it rests on the bodies of people like you, literally on your body.
Tom, would you, like the previous caller, recommend that your own kids take the test and go into the profession?
Well, you know, you're not going to get rich by becoming a sanitation worker, but I did raise three kids, put them all through private school. You get great benefits, and, you know, like I said, you're not going to get rich, but you're going to have a good lifestyle. I mean, you can take promotional tests, and I know the supervisors make over like $100,000 nowadays, but I think it's a great job, and I think anybody that wants a stable career should go and definitely take the test.
Tom, thank you so much for calling in. And, Robin, just based on the two calls that we've gotten, for people who may dismiss this as the dirtiest, grimiest, most dangerous work that I'd never want to do, both these guys feel like they had a pretty good life.
Sanitation offers, as Tom just mentioned, a steady salary, good benefits. It will not make you rich, but it will give you a very solid footing in a middle-class life with security in ways that is increasingly hard, especially for people who don't necessarily have advanced college degrees. I want to add that one of the things that's always impressed me about sanitation is the depth of friendship that I've seen among people on the job. When guys retire or women retire and then they come back to a benevolent society meeting or a barbecue or like at the St. Patrick's Day parade, they are greeted with such warmth, and there is a sense of they've stepped out of a formal title, but they are still bound up with the job community in ways that I really admire.
What's the pay? What do they start at? What can they retire at?
Brian, that's not the number I prepped for. The starting salary is in the low 30s for sanitation workers right now. Top pay, you earn that after 5 years, but the actual take-home will vary depending on how much overtime you accumulate. And if there's a bad winter, there's going to be more of that. The hurricane cleanup, which had sanitation in the front lines for weeks and weeks and weeks, there was a lot of overtime there.
So up to about, if you're really maxing out on overtime,
80s, 90s.
Here, you mentioned Sandy. Augenblick from Staten Island, comment on our comments page. As someone who's been involved in the cleanup efforts after Hurricane Sandy, I see sanitation workers as heroes. They did more for victims than any other agency, working around the clock to pick up the mountains of garbage we were putting out and coordinating with volunteers to place containers throughout the neighborhood. Thank you, DSNY, writes this listener.
That's very gracious.
Cleo in Morristown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Cleo.
I just want to tell you about my grandmother, who was a very strict Greek woman and would insist that we always be very polite. And, of course, in those years, it was the garbage. We should say sanitation workers. And she used to have the garbage can so clean and everything just right for them. And I remember she used the word, if they don't come and pick up the garbage, we're all going to get glikia, which is like maggots, I guess. Well, as kids, I never forgot it. Truthfully, my garbage cans, I think, are cleaner than my house, but they're wonderful. And we have a phenomenal group right here in Morristown.
That's a great story. All praise to your grandmother.
I wish she would maybe have lessons for New Yorkers in general about the how to put out trash for collection. It sounds like a great practice.
The sanitation workers on Cleo's and Cleo's grandmother's routes are probably happy to have it. There are good routes and bad routes in the city.
Well, there are messier routes or neater routes, heavier or lighter, longer or shorter. The garbage of the city is as varied as the city itself. So you have routes that are nanny goat routes, they're called, very steep hills and lots of walking. Then you have routes where the route was bombed, meaning super, super heavy collection stop, mountains of bags in a neighborhood with a lot of high-density housing.
How many women?
There are, in fact, 196 women across all uniform titles. That's sanitation workers, supervisors, superintendents, on up to chiefs. out of a total uniform force of 7,232.
Rare.
Yeah, there are not many women, but they've been on the job since 1986, and they have begun to climb higher and higher in management. And we have had a woman sanitation commissioner, Emily Lloyd, headed the department for a little while.
A little more Sandy love. Danny in Rockaway Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Danny.
Yes, good morning. Hi, I want to give a nice shout-out to the sanitation department. They did an excellent job during periods of Sandy, and especially post-Sandy in the Rockaway Peninsula. I'm talking about from the ponds at Bell Harbor to Rockaway Park, Rockaway Beach, Far Rockaway. A shout-out to them. Thank you very much for all the hard work you did.
Danny, thank you very much. And Robin, you're smiling as if you were one of the guys and women on the job.
Well, Danny, I'm sending you a big hug. And I have to say, when the Rockaway Parade happened, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the first weekend of March, there were dozens of families out with signs, big signs saying, DSNY, we love you, Rockaways, thanks you, DSNY. And the guys who and women who've been part of that parade for years told me that it gave them chills, that put tears in their eyes. They don't expect that kind of thanks, and they don't look for it. But when it comes, it is very, very well appreciated.
Well, the sanitation department has an artist in residence. And it has you as an anthropologist in residence, even as you do your day job at NYU, teaching and studying anthropology there. And now they have a book about the lives of sanitation workers called Picking Up on the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York City, written by my guest, Robin Nagel. And as you all just mentioned, that Robin is doing a book signing at City Store Books on April 4th at 12:30 in the afternoon. That's at the Municipal Building, right?
Yes.
In Lower Manhattan on the east end of Chambers Street there?
Exactly.
City Store Books in the Municipal Building, April 4th. That's a Thursday, 12:30 to 2 at the Municipal Building. And thank you so much. We could have kept this going for a long, long time. We have other sanitation workers calling in. Thank you all for your work. We have other people calling to share the love. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Brian.